Don't believe what I just saw!
I'm a man! I'm 40!
This is John Sheezer. I'm here.
Eric Marino.
Eric.
No, I gotta tell you about the Clippers. I'm an
addict. Sportsaholics, I gotta.
Let's just hope this shit doesn't go viral.
Okay.
If I fall, if I die, know I lived and missed some bullets. I'm on the pursuit of happiness, and I know everything will shine. Ain't always gonna be gold. I'll be fine once I get it. I'll be good. I'm on the pursuit of happiness.
All right, it's that time of the week again. This is Sportsaholics episode 85, and Eric's back. Eric is back. It's good, and you're back in sunny / rainy California. How's it feel to be back in the beautiful sunshine state?
It is the golden state, sunshine state, Florida, but it feels great to be in the golden state. In fact, it feels golden. Although I was like, Jesus, how was it raining outside last night? And lo and behold, it's brown. Drought is over. It's not over.
And look, and just so the listener knows, anytime I reference Florida, it's going to be unintentionally. Just like that last comment there, meant the Golden State, said Sunshine State, which is Florida. Never, ever am going to be talking about Florida or mentioning anything unless it's slanderous about Florida. So just to clarify that, that's what happened. I wasn't trying to talk about or mention Florida in any way, shape, or form. And that concludes that little address right there.
Good disclaimer. Sportsaholics disclaimer.
Absolutely. But well, before the Patriots, they got a while before they have to go down to Miami. You guys got the Bills coming up.
Oh, boy. We got the Bills, division rival. We have Ryan. We have that quarterback, Tyrod Taylor, I believe. He's a backup from the Ravens. And,
you know what?
I'm a little worried.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's your defense. It's the same story. Oh, the defense is old and not that good. Oh, you lost X, Y, and Z. But look, I mean, Gronk can get you 5 touchdowns if you need him to for some reason. I don't understand how he does it. I mean, at this point, it's just getting ridiculous. But it's just not normal to be able to muscle your way into 3 or 4 touchdowns in an NFL game. I don't know how he does it. And before we get ahead of ourselves here, let's not forget, this is Sportsaholics 85, number 85, Baron Davis 85 episode. War number 85 with the Knicks in 2012 and with the Cavaliers in 2011 towards the end of his career. I think that was when he was trying to piggyback LeBron maybe, and then like LeBron didn't re-sign, or was it something like that? I just remember him always felt like he went to Cleveland to be with LeBron, and then LeBron's like, "Yeah, I'm not going to be in Cleveland. Sorry, Baron, Mr. Davis." But I never liked Baron Davis because I remember when he chose UCLA over Kansas, he did it by tastefully having both of their hats on a table, and then when it came time to choose, he just took the KU hat and just threw it across the room. He's like, "I'm going to UCLA." Like, oh, a very classy move there, Baron.
Well, I think that happened to him then with the Clippers. He came to the Clippers, and for a whole half a day, people were very excited until, Elton Brand went to the 76ers.
You know what? That's what I'm thinking. You're right. That is what happened. Because the Clippers, and this is pre, Chris Paul by, I think, 3 years or something like that, or 2 years.
Right.
That was the original trade. And then Elton Brand was like, no, I don't want to be good. I want to just go to Cleveland. Philadelphia. And just be average.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, so this is the Elton Brand, or I'm sorry, not the Elton Brand, the Baron Davis episode.
That's a weird one. It just that 85 is a basketball number at all. I mean, that was so ready for any wide receiver,
tight end,
any wide receiver.
Yep. No. Nope.
I think
we're getting you ready for the upcoming basketball season, and this week on this week's episode, we're getting you ready for a bunch of different things. Actually, we got comedian Tim Gaither, who was a state champion undefeated wrestler in Kansas his senior year of high school, Tim Gaither went to the United States Championships in Las Vegas recently. Actually, will be working with the Big Ten Network in broadcasting some of Ohio State's wrestling matches this season on the Big Ten Network. So we have him on just talking about what it takes to be a wrestler, what you have to put into it, the future of the sport, and just things like that. So that we have Tim Gaither. You can go to timgaithercomedy.com.
Real wrestling, not professional sports entertainment wrestling, not Hulk Hogan, Shane and Enbong, not the passing of Roddy Piper, not Superfly Snuka getting in trouble for a woman he may have murdered 20 years ago. No, people, optional, real wrestling.
Real wrestling, the real deal. Cauliflower ear, bloody noses, unknown, walk, just walk around unnoticed, you know, that kind of wrestling, the not famous wrestling. And that's why we had Tim on. He drops a couple names. Apparently we've got a real bright future right now in wrestling, and some of the best wrestlers in the world are American, and they're all in their mid, early 20s and late teens. So,
I wasn't with you for that interview, but I need to ask an important wrestling question. Do we ever get an answer why there's a W in wrestling? Did you ask him that?
I didn't. You know, and it's kind of like Wranglers and jeans. You know, what's the deal? Is it the W Wranglers?
Wranglers.
I'm not sure which one's the knockoff. I think it's the R Wranglers. I'm not sure, though. Someone clarify that for us on Twitter.
Yeah.
But
it's real wrestling. W-R-E-A-L, real wrestling. W-R-E-S-T-L-E. Real wrestling.
Yeah, so that's later on in this episode. And, well, we have Chris Kamler on following, talking about the Royals. Spiraling downfall right now, which I'm not really concerned about. He weighs the pros and cons. Plus, there is an ESPN 30 for 30 documentary coming out about our beloved Sungwoo Lee, who comes from South Korea, all the way back to Kansas City for the playoffs. He's kind of like the team's good luck charm. So we get into that. The 30 for 30.
That's now become a 30 for 30.
I know. Who would have guessed? I mean, the only reason I know Chris was originally through Sungwoo. So, you know, it's kind of cool to see it all come full circle all these months later. And maybe, you know, if we can get him back over here, I think we could use some of his mojo right now. Wouldn't be bad.
That's tremendous. Well, I think he might have hit it on the head, because Fox put their free postseason sign in the outfield with Kauffman, straight out of Kauffman. And it seems like you hit the nail on the head. They have playoffs in their eyes, and they're not paying attention to the here and the now.
It's something. Something's going on, but, I mean, it'll pass. It's baseball. This is a sport that momentum can swing on one play, one out, one drop ball, one home run, one error, one passed ball. I mean, an entire season can swing on plays like that. So I'm not really concerned about it, and we get into that with Chris at the end of the show.
I'd like to talk two crazy baseball notes I ran into today, just to show you how amazing things can happen in baseball, and somehow they still don't mean anything. I just found out that Red Sox pitcher Joe Kelly has won his 8 last starts. The last Red Sox pitcher to win his last 8 starts, Pedro Martinez in 1999, that all-star game in Fenway year when he struck out 5 in the first 6, and he was probably, as many people think, that was Pedro's most masterful year. And it's almost a Hall of Fame year all in of its own. And here we are with the Red Sox in last place, in somewhat of a shambles, and people say, of course, it was the fact of many B, he's a bunch of number 2 and number 3 pitchers. And here we have Joe Kelly putting up what in many statistically might look like he's the ace of the staff, much like Pedro Martinez was in 1999. And yet it looks like statistics, in this case, can be a little deceiving.
Well, it's one of those things, too, where, look at how much run support he's getting. But without diving headfirst into the stats, to win 8 games in a row, like, it takes a special type of pitcher to do that. And if you're telling me Boston may have that, well, that's the difference between – next season, that's how you go from worst to first, is if you have a solid guy that can potentially win 18, 22 games for you. That's how you get the stopper in those must-have games against the Yankees next season or Toronto. Maybe he's the guy that can step up and get that guaranteed win, which, that's somewhere to start. Come spring training, something to look forward to. And I saw recently...
By the way, here's another crazy baseball stat for you to chew on. The the Red Sox struck out 19 times the other day against Tampa Bay and still won. And not only is that crazy, the next day the White Sox of Chicago, they struck out 19 times and they won. And that evidently is the first time that two teams have struck out 19 times consecutively and won their games since 1900, over 115 years ago.
Which is crazy because also this week, the Braves lost their 12th straight home game, a feat that franchise had not accomplished since 1911, when, of course, they were the Boston Braves.
In Boston and Braves Field.
And that's why baseball's great. Every day there is something else, something new that's never happened. And just when you think you've seen it all. I mean, last month I saw a first, Eric. It was equivalent to a balk. It was a foul ball. It bounced up, got stuck underneath the catcher's mask. Well, I didn't know this, and neither did the announcers, because all of a sudden all the base runners move up, and they're like, did he balk? And then luckily a producer got to him and said, no, if the ball gets stuck in anywhere into a uniform or under the catcher's gear, all the base runners get to advance a base. I didn't know that, you know, and in all the baseball I've watched, I've never seen that before. So, you know, it's crazy to you know, that's what makes baseball great. Absolutely.
All right, Steve. We have some interviews to get to, I believe.
Oh, most definitely. All right. Well, we're going to start this first one off with Tim Gaither. Great comedian. He's going to be up in Portland. He's going to be in Reno. He's going to be at Aces in Marietta and the Inland Empire here coming up. Go to timgaithercomedy.com to check that out. But when we come back, we'll be with the very funny Tim Gaither talking real wrestling, not WWF wrestling. Real.
Real wrestling.
Real wrestling.
No, we don't know why. We don't know why there's a W in front of wrestling, but we'll figure that out.
Like sits while someone vomits on your mosquito tits, slitting this while dark evil spirits
are slithering with Tim Gaither. Now Tim just got back from the World Championships for wrestling in Las Vegas. Not WWF, not WWE, the real thing, in my opinion, one of the hardest sports to participate. You don't really play wrestling, but Tim Gaither, a state champion, actually undefeated his senior year of high school. What was that like? Well, I mean, I wanted to bring you on just talk about wrestling, you know, growing up, you know, in high school, and then, you know, just as a wrestling fan, you know, what do you do to, you know, to cure your craving for wrestling? You know, obviously you go to Vegas, but are there any other options, or are you just kind of forced to go to like these big, huge, you know, world wrestling meets?
No, nowadays you can be a fan. It's cool. I started wrestling when I was 7, and my whole life, if wrestling was on TV, you missed most of it because you were calling all your friends to tell them wrestling was on, because it was kind of a big deal, you know, like you never saw it. And now there's a website called flowwrestling.org, I believe it is, and just type in Flow Wrestling, it'll come up, FLO Wrestling, and everything wrestling. They do high school. They do the top high school tournaments. They'll have live feeds of that. They've got live feeds of college stuff, and you know, of course, with the NCAA or with the World Championships, they had a ton of coverage on that. And it's just, I mean, it's addicting. I can waste so much time because I was always a nerd about it growing up. Like I was always that kid who knew who beat who and by what score, and if there was any arguments to be settled, they came to me and asked me, you know, like, if I would have remembered my schoolwork the way I did, those kind of stats.
Now, how did you get that? I mean, because, I mean, not to date us, but, you know, date our age or anything, but back when we were in high school, I mean, yeah, there was the internet, but, like, the early stages of it. So you couldn't, were you jumping online to get these scores, or did you subscribe to some like wrestling magazines? Like, how did you get all that information?
Well, we did get USA. There was a magazine called USA Wrestler, but we didn't really have the money to get that, so I'd had to, like, steal that from friends' houses who had it. But mainly, I just, my best friend who passed away when I was a kid, was a really good wrestler, and he and I would just sit and talk on the phone for hours, and he would tell me who beat who and by all his scores, and then I would just start looking for it, you know, like, if there was anything in the newspaper, I would just remember the score. I mean, I would meet people years later and be like, I know you. You beat blah, blah, blah by such and such at the state tournament in 1987. And they'd be like, how did you know that? I'd be like, I don't know, dude.
Yeah. You're a sportsaholic. It's in the blood.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. When it came to that stuff, you know, it's like Matt Damon says in that movie, when it came to that, I could just play. Everything else.
Well, for me in, like, stats, it's always baseball cards. I just came to that realization, you know, a couple of years ago. But after staring, it's like, you know, you don't want to know that. For some reason, I know that George Brett, you know, is from El Segundo, California. You know, it's like you learn where they're born or where they live. You know, did you know that Willie Wilson lived in Lee's Summit in 1983? You know, like.
I did not, but I loved Willie Wilson.
Yeah, who didn't? I mean, the man was.
Remember UL Washington?
Yeah.
Nobody remembers that guy, but he used to play with a toothpick in his mouth.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I remember UL. Absolutely. He was one of the guys that got busted in that big Royals Coke sting in the early 80s. Vida Blue, Jerry Martin, UL Washington, Willie Wilson, and Willie Mays Akins. Those were the big five.
Yeah. Yeah, man, those were the days. The World Championships for wrestling was awesome. I mean, I could have watched it all on my computer. I mean, but it was, you know, it's the next best thing for me to go to the Olympic Games. And these guys, man, I mean, there's a reason wrestling matches are only 6 minutes long. It's because it is so freaking hard. Like, these guys are in the best shape that you could possibly be in. They look like gymnasts who can wrestle. I mean, they're that ripped and just... I was at the tournament, and I lost one of my contacts. I couldn't see worth a damn, and so I bought these binoculars from Walmart. And I just sat there and watched, like, all the intricacies of it and, like, the way they tied up and all this little shit that they did. And I was like, God, if I would have known that stuff, you know, like, 'cause that's how I learned was watching other people more so than, like, drilling stuff. I would just watch someone and then kind of mimic what they did. And I was watching these guys, and I was like, God, if I ever have a kid, I'm going to teach him just like these guys. Cut out all the, you know, shit.
That's hilarious. So you're just like all just watching, learning. You're still learning all these years later. I mean, you're right though. And there's a reason why you look at UFC and these like Ultimate Fighters. You know, a lot of them have extreme wrestling backgrounds. Actually, just look at their ears. That's the way to tell. You know, anytime you see someone whose ears are all cauliflowered up, you're like, oh, you probably got third in state somewhere. That's what I usually think.
Man, these guys, actually, you don't get cauliflower ear until you get into college. High school is not near as rough, and you have to wear headgear most of the time. But when you get the first week of college practice, I got my ear swelled up like a balloon, just because of the physicality and that you're wrestling grown men now.
Yeah.
You're wrestling grown men now that, you know, smack you around, and you don't have to wear headgear in practice, and you don't have to wear one in tournaments and open tournaments. So you get your ears mangled up. But that's how you tell someone wrestled for real, or if they, you know, not necessarily. I mean, there are guys who are awesome, and, you know, Kyle Dake is a four-time NCAA champion. He's got ears like the prettiest girl you've ever seen. He's not
pristine ears.
You know, mangled up. Some guys wear their headgears, but I have just enough that you can tell I wrestled, but my ears don't look like you put them to a damn stove like some of those guys.
Yeah, you don't look like, you know, you don't. It doesn't draw. You don't like some guys. You see as soon as they walk up, that's the first thing you see. It's like, wow, can that guy even hear me right now? You know, like it's pretty bad. You know, but
yeah, it looks like little pieces of biscuit dough. That I mean, some of them are just you know, since I love wrestling as much as I do, I think it looks kind of cool. I wish I had just a little bit more, to be honest with you. But
some battle scars, understandable.
Yeah, I wish I had just a little bit more, but they did a pretty good job of sucking mine out and making it not look too bad.
Well,
but,
you shouldn't have been undefeated your senior year, and maybe you'd have a little bit more to show for it, you son
of
a
like
bitch.
Well, like I said, the high school wasn't the problem, man. It was when I got to college where everybody's at least a state champion, and no one gives a damn if you ever state champion. And if anything, they want to kick the crap out of you because yeah. A lot of guys that wrestle in college that are successful weren't the guys who were state champs every year. They were the guys who got third and fourth and just kept working hard and getting tougher and tougher. And then they get into college and they just keep grinding and becoming grown men. And then all of a sudden, being a state champion doesn't mean a lot. And then you get into higher levels of college. Like, I mean, that's what being such a big fan for me has done. Like, I get to see the levels of it, you know, like Division One. Those guys are freaking studs, man. If you don't even start on a Division One team, you're a freaking stud. Just because you made it through a season, you're a freaking stud, you know? And then you have levels beyond that where, you know, even the best guys, Logan Stever, I'm not knocking him because he's awesome, but just to give you an idea, Logan Stever won his fourth NCAA title this year, and then he went to the U.S. Open, which is the next level. And he ended up getting like fourth, and the guy just won his fourth college national championship. He's a freaking stud, and I'm not saying he's not going to make the Olympic team or win the Olympics someday, because he probably will, but right now, he's not near the top guy. I mean, there's just such a level, and then you have the best guy in the country, and then you're like, wow, that guy is awesome, and then you go to the world, and you see that guy get the crap kicked out of him, and you're like, wow, there's just always another level. There's like we had a guy this year who was 19 years old and he won the world championship, youngest world champion in U.S. history.
His
name's Kyle Snyder.
He's
awesome. He's a great kid. I met him once.
Follow him on Twitter.
Yeah. Snyderman 45 or something like that.
Oh, hey, Tim, before we go any further, listeners, go to Tim, T-I-M, Gaither, G-A-I-T-H-E-R, comedy.com, Tim Gaither, comedy.com. You're going to be at the Funny Bone in Omaha coming up in December. We're going to be working together in Kansas City, around Kansas City here in a couple weeks. We'll get to that later, but back to Kyle Snyder.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, I appreciate it. yes, Cal Snyder won the world championships, age 19. No U.S. guy has ever done it that young. And then there's a guy in Russia who just won his second world championship, and he's 19. So he won his first one when he was 18. And now those two are jawing back and forth about wrestling, I heard, because they're in different weight classes, and that would be the match of the freaking century, man. I mean...
You're talking Pacquiao. You're talking Pacquiao Mayweather.
You ask me a question, and I just start rambling because I love wrestling, man. People don't realize how cool it is.
No, it's the real deal. And, I mean, I remember going out to football practice, and we would go out, and you guys would be running stairs. And we didn't go to the same high school, but rival, you know, similar high schools. And the wrestling team would be running stairs, and then we would have our full practice, and then they would still just be running stairs, like, you know, having worked out, and then the same old. This is, I don't know if you can still wear trash bags, but that seemed to be a popular fit amongst the wrestlers. I don't know if those have been banned or whatever since then. But
I think any kind of plastics at the high school level is technically illegal. But
now, is that new, you know, or has that been around since you were wrestling?
What's that?
The plastic? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. People have been wearing sauna suits and all that stuff. Did you ever see that movie, Vision Quest?
Yeah, yeah.
You did? Okay. Well, that remember that silver thing you wore all the time? That's a sauna suit. Well, if you really want to lose some water weight, you put one of those on with a sweatshirt and jump rope. Or I used to make homemade saunas in the bathroom, turn on the shower all the way so it, you know, the water gets hot.
Just steam it.
Piss off your pants, but...
it worked.
Yeah, or we'd go to the sauna, or, you know, whatever. We did it very unhealthy. If I ever had a kid, I wouldn't let him do the crap that I did.
Not worth it. Just that's a lot of pain. I remember having friends that would just spit for like 2 weeks straight. They wouldn't swallow any saliva. They would just walk.
It's just an unhealthy. There are ways to do it where you don't have to starve yourself, and you can still get nutrients and all that stuff. We were kids, and you know, I didn't have anybody at my house telling me, you know, what to do. So I just did it unhealthily. And when you're strong and young like that, you can kind of compensate for it. But I wonder how well, you know, we could have done if we had proper nutrition and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy, you know. That's good, because awareness now, if you eliminate that, now it's like, hey, don't try to cut weight. Just how about maintain a healthy weight and eat good food the whole time, you know?
If you eat the right proteins and drink the right amount of water and all that stuff, it passes through you and does its job, and your body works the way it's supposed to. And I've learned a lot of stuff in my, you know, in my mid to late 30s that I never knew when I was young, that I wish I knew. And now if I ever have a kid, I can pass it on to them. But one week, I'll tell you a quick story about a bad weight cut. My sophomore year, in 5 days, I ate 4 bowls of cereal and had 5 glasses of water. I would get up every morning and eat a bowl of total cereal. I would go the entire day without eating or drinking. And then I'd go to wrestling practice, and then I would come home, and I would have a glass of water with ice for dinner. I did that for 5 days to lose, like, 11.5 pounds, and never did get down to the way I was supposed to. It almost freaking killed me. You know, I was, like, trying to run, like, 4 miles the night before, and your body just gets to a point where it's like a sponge, and you wring out that sponge completely. It won't pull any more out, and you're just... You know, I woke up the next morning weighed the exact same as when I went to bed. Like, I just can't lose anymore, you know?
Yeah. I mean, eating a half a box of cereal in 5 days and 5 glasses of water.
And I hesitate to tell people stories like that, because people hear it and then they get scared and be like, well, I don't want my kid to wrestle. Well, you don't have to do it that way. I'm just saying that's what I did, and it wasn't smart. Yeah. And I was just...
Well, now, you know, they coach against that, and because people, you know, have died and they've hurt themselves, and in this day and age, you know, safety is number one priority in all sports. I mean, that's why football's in decline. But I think what's going to help wrestling is the UFC and Ultimate Fighting, because I think people see their heroes now, these kids that are 10, 11, 12, their heroes all have wrestling backgrounds. So these kids are thinking like, well, let me start wrestling. I can wrestle, you know, and get all the basics and really good at that, so that way when I'm older and I want to be a fighter, it'll be that much more of a transition. So I think starting really this year for years to come, I think you're going to see a lot more, you know, a lot more stars. Like you mentioned, that one kid that's 18, you know, he probably is going to be a UFC fighter in 5 years. If after the...
People need to go to USA Wrestling and check it out. We've got a lot of stuff. Dude, Jordan Burroughs just won his 4th world title in 5 years.
How old's this guy?
He got a bronze last year, and that was only because, in my opinion, because he had a sprained MCL in his knee, and he still got a freaking bronze. I mean, the guy is a monster. He's 27 years old. I got my picture with him and everything. I mean, yeah, I met Dan Gable. He was just freaking awesome, dude. The whole thing was great.
That's awesome. And that's a yearly tournament in Vegas, or do they move that around?
No, that moves around all over the place. That was another reason that I just had to go, you know, because, you know, chances are that the World Championships at least will be in the United States again in my lifetime, but, you know, that's 4 hours down the road. And we watched everything. We watched the women's, and we watched Greco, and women's and Greco was awesome. And I had never been a Greco-Roman, just a different style, and you can't use your legs, basically. All upper body, and I have a whole new appreciation for it from watching the level that we got to see it on, and watching the women. God, those girls get after it, man. I mean, they are freaking studs. And we had 2 world champions, Adeline Gray and Helen Maroulis. And yeah, even if you get your kid into, you know, you get your kid into wrestling, if you want to be a fighter someday, or it's just great for a lot of reasons. Kids that wrestle,
discipline
in the eye, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to get a teenager to look you in the eye. But when I talk to a kid that wrestles, he looks me in the eye, and it's like talking to a grown-up, you know, and he's listening to me, and he's not just waiting, you know, he's not... They're good kids. I'm not saying wrestling cures everything, but... And I can do stuff now, like, you're never too old to throw somebody in a headlock. You're never too old or out of shape to headlock someone. Well, like, if it went down, I could still headlock 8 out of 10 dudes walking down the street if I had to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you still
they
run.
They might hit me a few times before I do, but once I get a hold of them, you know, and I'm not that big. And yeah. I'm not saying I'm the toughest guy in the world, because the guys I just saw would just destroy me. I mean, just
But you still run five miles a week, you know, and you can still get out there with the best of them. I mean, I heard you say recently you're in one of the best shape you've ever been in your life.
In some ways, I am. Like, I can run farther than I could when I was a kid and all that. But when it comes to wrestling, that's just a whole different kind of shape. I wrestled my nephew, who had come off his freshman year of college, and another kid that was really good a few months ago, and I did really well against him. In short bursts, you know, I have to take a lot more breaks than they do. But it's still fun. I mean, I wish that it was something that you could go do like basketball. Greg Warren has a great joke about how you can't just go wrestle. You can't call your buddies and be like, hey, you want to go wrestle? You know, like, it's not like shooting hoops. You know?
I mean, they do that now all over the place in these UFC gyms. I mean, that's how Ari Shaffir tore his ACL like 3 or 4 years ago, practicing UFC fighting. You know, cool. yeah. If you go into these gyms, I mean, a lot of them they're just like sparring. I mean, you might have to punch people too, but for the most part, you can do your wrestling stuff. You just might have to take shots in your ribs with elbows.
Yeah.
But you know, but yeah, it's no, and that's why I wanted to have you on, just kind of have awareness that there are a lot of great American wrestlers coming up in the system, and you know, definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, I feel like I need to say all their names: Brent Metcalf and Tony Ramos, and all these freaking studs. I mean, they're just, it's just great, and it's a great way to teach your kids discipline and accountability, and you know, lots of reasons.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's
I think
yeah, it's not an easy sport at all.
If it wasn't for wrestling with the way that I grew up, I mean, I have no idea where my life would be right now, but it probably wouldn't be very good.
Okay, speaking of your life right now, I mean, coming up this fall, you're going to be in Reno here in early October, then in Seattle. You're going to be at Aces in Marietta, which is like kind of eastern L.A., Inland Empire, and then in Omaha in December. So, listeners,
actually, so I'm not going to be at Omaha in December now.
Okay, well,
that's pending, but all the other dates are correct. Yeah,
perfect. Yeah, go.
And I was actually trying to drive people to my Facebook fan page more so than even my website. I've been putting videos on there, and some of them are just pretty silly and. This kind of stuff makes me so nervous, too. I'll put these videos up there, and I know they're funny. They made me laugh, or I wouldn't put them up there. But then you just never know. And then you put it out there, and you're like, oh, wow, 2,000 people have seen that. No one's saying anything about it. And you're like, ugh.
Hey, don't worry. You know, don't stress yourself out. That's what videos are. People watch it, and they laugh, and they're like, oh, that's funny. And then they share it. And then next thing you know, 2 hours later, couple thousand people have seen it. You know, that's just how it works. But yeah, don't.
Yeah, but you're always wondering if they're judging you or thinking they're stupid. Yeah, that was stupid. You know, people are.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what we do all the time. Get on stage and be jackasses, and then people are like, "Hey, I really like that," or "Really did not like that," and have a severe issue with it. But that's very, very few and far between. But
yeah. I mean, only really rude people come up and say they didn't like you. Like, okay, well, thanks.
Yeah, it's happened a few times. I'm like, well, sorry.
I noticed you stayed for the whole thing, dickhead.
I remember the last time it happened to me. I'm like, look, is it my fault you rode your bike here and I made fun of people that ride their bikes everywhere? No, it's not. Really? So don't take it personally, even though you should.
Hey, you walk into those clippity-clop shoes and the bike helmet, what do you think is going to happen when you walk into a comedy room?
Yeah, you
think I was going to make fun of you?
I mean, at least put it under the table. Don't just set it in your lap or on the chair next to your beer, you know, or on the, just hide it at least a little bit. Come, guys, in Kansas City area, we're going to be in southern Johnson County, filming our Tiny Towns Tour pilot in and around Gardner, possibly Paola, Lewisburg. So if you're out there, or if you have an interesting story, we're looking for, you know, some history, interesting people in that area. So if that pertains to any of you listeners, please email the show sportsaholics@gmail.com or hit us up on Twitter. But yeah, Tim and I, very funny comedian James Johann, are going to be in that area in a couple weeks. We're trying to pin down a show, but we're going to try to do one on the Saturday. the 26th of September, coming up here in a couple weeks. So we'll definitely post that on Sportsaholics. But it's going to be fun, Tim. I'm looking forward to it. We've been writing and working on this thing all summer. And I can't tell you the last time I've been to Gardner. When was the last time you were there?
My brother actually lives there. So a few months ago.
You're like, actually. But and that's going to be interesting, too, because it was once a small town. Now it's just getting eaten up by Olathe, more or less, it seems like.
It's huge. It's huge. When I was a kid, I told you that when we went to Gardner, like there was a Gardner Invitational, and you knew that you were just going to go and have three putts.
Yeah. Win. But now, it's
gonna
a big...
You're going to go pin three kids when you go to the Gardner Invitational.
Not anymore.
It's not a very tough tournament. And now Gardner is really good, really.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
The best in the state.
If anyone knows the wrestling coach at Gardner, Tim's going to come by and pin some of your teenagers and kick the shit out of them. That's cool.
As long as we do 15-second periods, you know, I'll be fine.
15 seconds. You just go all in and then blow the whistle. That's awesome. Well, hey, Tim, thanks for coming on. Again, real quick, listeners, go to timgaithercomedy.com. And what's the U.S. wrestling website again?
You just go to USA Wrestling.
Okay. Just Google search that.
Yeah, my Facebook fan page is facebook.com/comedianTimGaither.
We'll put the link on that up on Twitter and all that good stuff. But, Tim, thanks for your time, and I will see you here in a couple weeks in Kansas City.
You bet. Thanks for letting me ramble, because that's what I do when you ask me a question about wrestling. It's so crazy.
Hey, that's why we're going to have you on again, just to talk about wrestling.
All right, buddy. Thanks a lot. Have a good one.
All right. You too.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Tim, for coming on, kind of breaking some of that down. You know, Eric, you missed the interview, but, you know, anytime you got to cut weight, that is dangerous. So, yeah, you want your kids to participate in sports, but I think now the wearing the trash bags, all that stuff's done. So it's a little bit safer for the high school kids these days. It's more about nutrition. We don't want anyone getting hurt. So that is that. Never thought about wrestling. I know my brother did for a while. Just I didn't see the risk-reward payoff. What about you? Do you ever consider wrestling?
Well, wrestling's a little bit too especially in high school, it's the leotards, the headgear, the rolling around with another guy. It's way too... I'll say it honestly. I wasn't comfortable enough with my sexuality. I went to an all-boys Catholic high school. And honestly, doing theater was a little less gay than wrestling. So I'll admit to being a homophobe and not really that much into wrestling. And I don't really care that much about leverage or pins or any of that stuff. I like my ears as they are.
Yeah, you know, and theater's a lot less sweaty. You know, there's a lot less sweat involved in theater.
Yes.
More just pressure and stress, you know. Memorization and all those good things. But so what did you think about about the Kansas City Chiefs there? I'm not gonna say my Chiefs, but the Kansas City Chiefs. I'll say Chiefs and Chopper. Took down the almighty Texans, HBO's Hard Knocks own Houston Texans. I was bit surprised.
Just assume that Hard Knocks is a Hard Knocks. It's a Hard Knock life, and I think I really feel that Hard Knocks really messes up your team. If you let the Hard Knocks cameras in, In fact, you know, it's not letting the cameras in because I just recently watched the Patriots Do Your Job documentary about the 2014, and you can see that, you know, if you're an NFL player, you're not, it's like you're going to see cameras on your practices, in your meeting, around your business. That's your business. It's covered by television. You're surrounded by cameras. But here's my thinking. My thinking is, when you hear Liev Schreiber, Ray Donovan on Showtime, who's the voice of HBO Sports, talking about you in that NFL voice, that NFL film voice, basically, it treats you like you're a Greek god. It makes these people, it's not the Super Bowl documentary. It's the training camp documentary. And I think in many ways, it's like, how many times have we seen it? The Dallas Cowboys fell apart after Hard Knocks. The Cincinnati Bengals were touted. The Atlanta Falcons may have just gotten back from being 2 years on completely blowing apart. And nothing, something else, I mean, Marvin Lewis might be the only man to really survive Hard Knocks as a coach, because usually within 2 years, the coach is gone because of expectations. And I think the players themselves think they're a little bit better than they are, because I don't know what everybody else saw. When I watched week one, I saw it with the Patriots. I saw it in the Monday night game with the Philadelphia Eagles, that at least for the first two drives or three drives, some of the players didn't seem to realize, hey, it's for real now. You know, it was like it took a couple defenses sort of had to get punched in the mouth and go, hey, you're letting a nobody, no-name running back run all over you for 9 yards to carry. You need to smarten up. And I think in some ways the Texans were maybe too much in love with their image and how great J.J. Watt and Vince Wilfork and Clowney, and they are great. But it doesn't necessarily make a team. It doesn't make your team great. And, you know, I guess Brian Hoyer's job is already in trouble. So much for that.
Yeah, Mallett came in and just went right in, got the touchdown. And, you know, so they went ahead and started that quarterback controversy. But it's weird, too, in the post-game interview or the press conference, you're watching him, and it's like the season never ends. It's like, oh, this is bonus footage from week one. You know, and because it's so real, and because Coach O'Brien is such a character and outspoken, and the way he speaks is a little different than everyone else. So the press conferences are always very entertaining with that guy. But
maybe even now it's like maybe Bill O'Brien's a little too cocky or too self-conscious, and now he's being Bill O'Brien, a Hard Knocks coach, instead of being the coach. For example, I believe that Rex Ryan is a big loudmouth who is sometimes bad for his own team and certainly developing quarterbacks. I liked that when he was the head of the New York Jets because I kept watching him, like, hurt Mark Sanchez in preseason games and put Geno Smith in situations where he could not succeed. The Tebow controversy or the mishandling of Tim Tebow entirely. And now he's in Buffalo, he's doing many of the same things, but his replacement at the New York Jets, Todd Bowles, I believe, has gone completely radio silent. It's like the Jets became a submarine, and they went stealth mode, and they've gone to the bottom of the ocean, and no one knows where they are. They just came out, they won week one, they beat the Browns, which, McCown got the concussion, Manziel's an idiot, but it's not like they're not crowing that much about it. They are very radio silent, and that worries me a little bit more than being a lot. Like, I don't need my head coach. I don't need my head coach to be a quotable quote. I have Bill Belichick. I enjoy him not being quotable because that's quotable. He's so unquotable, it's quotable. That's what I'm looking for. I want an NFL coach who's winning football games, not winning press conferences.
Yeah, and because even when you are successful, even then it's taking away from the victories, because then, you know, I said we were going to win, and it always comes back to the coach, rain or shine. So, which, you know, maybe it's a good thing, take some of the publicity or stress off of the players, you know, in the media, but a lot of players want to be in the media. You know, they want to shine, you know, and make a name for themselves so they can sell suits and host, you know, talk shows when they get out of the league. But, yeah, it's it's interesting because, you know, with J.J. Watt and Will Fork and Cushing and all those guys, yeah, they were made out to be Greek gods. And then come to find out the Chiefs can just, you know, march right down the field on them. And you're like, oh, okay.
You were bullies. You ruined Hard Knocks for everyone. You were the villains of Hard Knocks, the unseen episode.
Well, speaking of ruin, Johnny Cueto managed to ruin all good vibes in Kansas City. We talk about that with Chris Kamler. You can find his work at pinetarpress.com on Twitter at TheFakeNed. Very funny, very informed. When we get back from break, we'll be talking with Chris Kamler.
This is what's going to turn the world around. Midnight Blue! Midnight Blue! Go, Chiefs, go! We'll be back.
Shame, 'cause I'm the one who can feel the sun right in the pouring rain. I won't say when, don't know when.
All right, and we are back with Chris Kamler on for his umph most, you know, almost probably going close to 10th time. Chris, how are you doing, man? It's good to have you back on, especially at this time of the year, end of the season, playoffs are coming, people are worried. How are you worried?
Playoffs are coming. Football's in swing. Baseball is inching to the deadline. I'm not worried. I live in this bunker all the time with the helmet on and scared, crapless. Yeah, I'm a little worried. I gotta be honest with you.
Well, it's. I mean, and I had a discussion earlier with a buddy, with a friend of mine, that Royals fan. It's still too soon. I mean, it wasn't but a year and a half ago when we were still the Royals of old, you know. And so Now to see a slump, I mean, we somehow managed to avoid one all season, which for the most part, aside from, I think, a 1-4 game. But, I mean, we had win series after series after series. And that's how you eventually end up 31 games over 500 at the end of August. Unfortunately, or fortunately, we'll see come postseason. I myself am not worried. I think it's a chemistry thing. I think Cueto, you know, we did okay without James Shields pitching his brains out last postseason. So I think there's enough there. For me, my biggest concern is the bullpen. And I still don't think Herrera's at 100%. Wade Davis is always awesome. Holland's got to get his velocity up a little bit. So I don't know if they're saving it for the postseason or what, but I'm honestly not worried.
I agree. I'm like you, where we still have that ingrained, you know, reflective thing that when, you know, somebody comes at us with a losing streak, we're like, oh my God, remember when we lost 20 in a row, or oh my God, remember, you know, we'll never win again. And this team's scoring runs. They're not pitching great. The thing that has actually given me the most solace is that the Cardinals are 2-10 as well, or 2-8, or they're in a huge slump as well. And that's they've been the best team in baseball, and we've been the second best team in baseball all year. So if it can happen to a team like the Cardinals, you know, I'm okay. And it's literally happening at the exact same time that the Royals is happening too. So I don't feel great about it, but I'm not panicking at any point in time. I mean, we're going to win the division. Maybe we'll lose the home field advantage, but the last time we played the Blue Jays without home field advantage, that seemed to work out okay for us. So, you know, I mean, we'll be fine.
It's just a matter of getting hot and you know, and within that streak, Royals fans, you have to remember, you know, like your Chesler Cuthbert, who I've been infatuated with, almost to the man crush, I think, area. just because I really love that they just showcased him a little bit, because I think he's a legitimate play. Like, I mean, unfortunately, he backs up Moustakas, but I mean, I don't know. Maybe he fits in at second base, but, you know, but these players are playing right now, so don't lose track of that. You know, you're not really even when you're getting all the starters, you know, my biggest concern, I mentioned it last week on the show, was the postseason. As soon as that postseason sign went up in the outfield on the wall, right center field, right next to Lorenzo Cain, you know, they run out on the field and see that every time. So in the back of your head, even though they're, you know, yeah, they're trying, they're not trying to lose, but they look at that and immediately they're thinking, who cares? You know, we can do it again. So I think that kind of psychologically kind of plays into it. But it's just frustrating, you know, but you got to remember, you know, Miguel Almonte is getting innings now, you know, Hochever is collapsing. You know, yeah, Morales gave up some hits, but is he even going to get to pitch in the postseason? You know, these are back of the end bullpen, maybe not so much in Hochever, but I just think it's not as big of a worry as people make it out to be.
Yeah, and you know, in years past, we've been used to expecting winning Septembers because that was when all of our AAA and AA guys came up, and they were better than our major league guys, And now, up to 2014 and 15, well, all our major league guys are already here. And so you really do kind of take a hit. The defense has been a little sloppier if you've been watching things. They've been hit, you know, just little things hitting and missing cutoffs. That all gets locked down in about a week. They're going to start to put their playoff roster together. They're going to stop playing the AAA guys. They're going to, you know, play 1 week of solid baseball and you know, whatever happens, I think we'll be just fine. It's been tough to watch last week. There's no doubt.
I mean, my grandpa's furious. I mean, but yeah, keep in mind, you know, you are getting the AAA Royals guys. Alex Gordon's not gonna lay out for the ball on the line. It's gonna hit and bounce off the wall and maybe go for a triple. But in the postseason, he's going to catch that ball. But he's not going to re-injure himself right now, shagging a ball down 5 runs in Baltimore. It's just, which is goes against everything Alex Gordon stands for. But he's smart enough to know, screw it. I'll wait 2 weeks. I'll be back in 2 weeks. Don't worry about it. You know, and a lot of people.
Lorenzo Cain took a route to a ball last night that looked a lot like a question mark. And this is a guy who, in the playoffs last year, had one of the most, you know, they do those, that stat cast, had one of the most efficient routes to baseball, you know, of any outfielder in baseball. So is their head not completely in it, and that's the expected.
What you're saying is he did the Nori Aoki route to the ball?
It was awful. He, like, circled around it like he was a ship or something trying to find a port. It was nuts. It was you know, these guys, Salvi is, you know, you're getting pass balls by Salvi, and these guys' heads just isn't 100% right now.
Is it a blessing that Cueto is playing so badly that he's shouldering the brunt of all this animosity towards the Royals right now and worry and fear? Or is that a bad thing? Is that just added pressure? I mean, the man didn't show up for that autograph appearance. What was that, a couple days ago? I mean, he's really – and it seemed like his last outing on Sunday – he's still pitching, men on. It's like, it seemed like Ned Yost just said, screw it. You know what? If you're so great, get yourself out of this inning. And he got a strikeout and they pulled him out. But, like, they were setting him up to give up another 3 runs potentially, you know. And so are they done with him? Or are they just going to scale it back or give him a rest? Or what's going on? I mean, I've got a friend telling me that he might be tipping his pitches, you know. So is there any inside thoughts on that or anything? Or is he just done?
There are maybe 5,000 people on Twitter, and there are maybe, you know, in Royals Twitter, and there's maybe 5,000 theories about what's wrong with Cueto. And it honestly, it's a combination of all of them, and I think it's between the ears for the most part. Maybe he's tipping his pitches. Maybe he's, you know, doing too much with the shimmy. Maybe he's just not. I think he's just not trying hard enough, quite honestly. And he's leaving a lot of balls up, and that's not his game. And so he's got some command issues. Everybody says he's healthy. So the only way that you've got some command issues and you're healthy is that you're just not executing your plan, and that means that goes back to your brain's not in it. And I don't know what your regular listeners, you know, a lot of them probably are on the West Coast, didn't hear, but there's only two ways that you're going to piss off Royals fans. The first one is giving up gigantic home runs, which Cueto's doing. And the second one is pissing off barbecue restaurant owners here in town. And so that's what he did last week. He stood up a big, I mean, they had a lot of, you know, they've been giving away tickets for this thing for 2 weeks. And come see Johnny Cueto at this new barbecue place. And he just never showed up.
It's not New York City.
He's number one, man. He's worse than Eric Fisher from the Chiefs, who asked to not play game one. So it's tough, man. Folks are spoiled on him quickly.
Yeah, I mean, it's not New York City. I know it's a lot better than Cincinnati, but I mean, you can't really get lost in Kansas City. I mean, there's only so many places you can hide, and that's a big no-no, because they're passionate fans. I mean, these are the same fans that are staying 45 minutes after the game just to yell at Eric Hosmer when he gets done with his television interview, you know, and they're there hours beforehand, and, you know, they're just they're great fans. And speaking of great fans, you know, Sungmoo Lee, obviously you've documented his rise to fame in the Silence the Series in the Summer of Sungwoo, a fantastic book you can find on Amazon.com. Go to PineTarPress.com. You can find it there as well. Links to purchase that. But now there's a 30 for 30. ESPN has gone on board, and they have produced a documentary following Sungwoo's journey to the States. I don't know if it's both journeys or just the follow-up World Series journey.
You know what it's like getting the family to a baseball game. Many of us will simply watch on TV. But how about the guy who traveled 6,500 miles to get the royal treatment? Here's John Donvan.
Call him this year's luckiest man on the face of the earth, Sungwoo Lee.
Let me introduce myself to all of you guys.
Seen here, visiting from South Korea back in August.
Ta-da!
Cheered for like mad by baseball fans in Kansas City.
Look at Sungwoo! He's captured by the moment.
Because, well, before visiting Kauffman Stadium for the first time, Sungwoo was, for 15 years, one of the most prolific pro-Royals posters online and a constant presence on Twitter, as in, Sungwoo, bring it all good luck and my own gear to KC. Okay, not great English, but being a U.S. baseball fan from a distance was Sungwoo's way to learn English. He loved the look of Kauffman Stadium, so it had to be Kansas City. And look at the attention he got back in August. They gave him his own team shirt and the first pitch, and they had Sungwoo, who is no introvert, put up the W for a win. His English got pretty good, and when leaving for home in August, he said,
"Wow, just wow. Yeah, it can't be any better."
But here's the thing. The Royals did a lot of winning while he was here. And baseball being a superstitious game,
the Royals are going to the World Series.
Well, guess who's coming back for the World Series?
I think that sums it up.
John Donvan, ABC News, Washington.
Good luck, Charm. We will see. Welcome to America.
But Chris, you played a small part in kind of orchestrating the original move of Sungwoo over stateside to get to Kansas City and help kind of get that whole thing going. Have you seen the documentary? I mean, are you excited about it?
I haven't seen it. I'm terrified because supposedly I'm in it. So hopefully they use their wide-angle lens. But no, man, it's just this all happened only because a guy wanted to fulfill a dream and that he is pure of heart. And I've mentioned this before on your show. He's the most pure baseball fan and Royals fan that you're going to find. He is a true Kansas Cityan. He just happens to have not lived in Kansas City. And so, you know, our small part last August in bringing him here and then taking him around, I mean, that we would do that for anybody of that ilk. And the thing about it is that when he was in town in August, the Royals won 8 straight, and they, you know, they became inspired to a degree by
this guy that was, just very pure and just wanted to see his Royals play well and win, and that's exactly what they did. So that's part of what, and I wrote a book about that, and that's kind of the first part of the story. Well, this documentary is kind of about the second part of the story. This filmmaker he's born in Kansas City. His name's Josh Swade. He does movies for Rolling Stone magazine now. But he's worked for ESPN. He's done documentaries for the ESPYs and stuff like that. And so he became interested in this story when he was here in August, and it went viral. It went across the country. It went across the globe. And when the Royals get closer,
this is August 2014. This is August 2014 for those of you listening at home. This is a year ago, August.
Yep, last August, when the Royals were, they were near third place, and this takeoff, got them closer and closer to the wild card game, and closer to playoff baseball for the first time in 29 years. And Josh mailed me and was like, we've got to bring Sung Woo back if they make it to the World Series. I'm like, well, that's awfully bold thinking. That's a good idea, and I'll pass your information along, but there's probably very little chance. Yeah. Sung Woo, the culture in Korea is just, it's just work all the time. He's working, 80, 90-hour weeks. He's sending us Snapchats at 2 in the morning, his time, when he's just getting home. And he just lives, he breathes Royals baseball when he's not at work. So anyway, long story short is that it got closer and closer and closer to the playoffs. And they get into the playoffs, and Josh sent me an email and said, I've got an idea. We're going to send a documentary crew to Korea and try to persuade his bosses to let him come back. He's a good luck charm for this team. This team is, first time in the playoffs in 29 years. We need to convince him to go. And so that's what this story is. Wade, and his documentary team going to Korea, beating Sung Woo. The Royals are in the playoffs. They watched the night that they clinched the playoffs in
Chicago.
The ALCS. And he convinced their bosses to let Sung Woo come back to the World Series. And so it's kind of the second part of my story. And I, from what I hear, it's what they call a 30 for 30 short. It's a 30-minute show. And it's very well done. And I did talk to somebody that saw it over the weekend and said it's pretty funny and it's pretty cool. So I'm excited to see it. It premieres on Monday here in Kansas City. They're doing like a red carpet thing, and I got to go find a tie. And,
very nice.
It's going to be a mess. But you probably go to that stuff all the time, but out there in La La Land.
Man, I would almost come back just for that. I mean, that was an amazing story. And, in fact, that's how we initially came in contact, is because I had started the Kickstarter just to raise money to potentially buy.
Yep, same idea.
And then you were like, you know what? It's a great idea, but unfortunately in the Korean culture, that's like the most insulting thing you can do is ask for anything. I'm like, yeah, no, I understand. I will take that down immediately. And so, who would have thought all these months, 14 months later. Is there talk about him possibly coming back again for this season's playoffs?
I email him every day.
Good.
And I say, when are you coming back, buddy? I said, we need you. I said, we've just lost, 8 out of our last 10. And he, God bless him, bless his soul. He's just the sweetest guy. He's the best Royals fan, but he right now is just in the middle of a whole bunch of stuff at work, and it's kind of the same stuff that he was in last year.
I don't know.
If we keep losing, I might have to fly over there and drag him back.
When is MLB going to step up and offer this man a job as a Korean correspondent? I mean, it's very simple.
Fantastic.
I mean, just give the man $100,000 a year, pay him whatever he's making, match it, and have him travel around Korea, maybe doing reporting on their league, or just, do a Korean broadcast of MLB. I mean, he's been on the local news. I know when the ESPN cameras went over there, they took the news crews with them, and I saw a couple interviews. So it's like, people recognize him, and there's a story behind it, and in the fact that he's popular in America already, that's just going to help him out in Korea. So Major League Baseball, step up here. Give Sung Woo Lee a job as a correspondent for Korean baseball in MLB. Do you know anyone at the MLB office, Chris, you could throw an email to?
They stopped taking my calls a while ago. But I totally agree. They're trying to expand. You know, they have Japanese baseball, and they're trying to expand into Korea. Korea, they have professional baseball in Korea, but it's not to the level of popularity as is Japanese baseball. But there are a couple of outstanding Koreans playing right now. Kong, who plays with the
Pittsburgh
the Pirates.
Yep.
Their third baseman is Korean, and he's just—he's fantastic.
Yeah, I guess
people have talked about him and Moustakas in the same sentence, and people have watch parties in Korea to watch him. And so I told him, I said they need to get some. And someone has appeared on their version of SportsCenter a couple of times and done analysis, and I think he'd just be great. I mean, how often do you get a chance to do the job that you have the passion for?
Look, the fans are there, and as the game grows, I mean, I have a team, the Doosan Bears. My buddy lived in South Korea, so he got me a jersey of theirs, and so that's officially my team, the Doosan Bears. But the star pitcher from my high school actually pitched apparently for 3 or 4 years in Korea. I just found that out recently. So there are Americans that play over there, Mr. Baseball style, or Mr. Big Leagues. You know, it's like there are Tom Selleck's everywhere, all across South Korea. It's not just Japan. But, so hopefully, just putting it out there in the universe. If any of you listeners know anyone just definitely let us know. Let's make that happen. Another thing before I let you go I want to make happen is, can we get the Royals to retire Bo Jackson's number 16? I know that there's efforts to put him in their Hall of Fame finally, which surprisingly Bo Jackson is in no Hall of Fame other than Auburn. He's not in the Raiders Hall of Fame either, not in baseball or football Hall of Fame. So it's nice that they're going to vote on that. I think he should have been in 20 years ago, but I'm more concerned about the number. Unreasonable here? Do you think? I mean, because the man is fantastic, and nothing against Paulo Orlando, or Billy Butler, or Joe Randa. I love Joe Randa too, but I think it's just time to shelf number 16. I mean, we were lucky to have this athletic legend. I mean, I think in 100 years they're going to look back and talk about him like he was Joe Louis or Jack Johnson or Billy Owens, like one of these crazy athletes. And he played for the Royals, so I just think maybe let's hang up number 16.
I 97% agree with you, and I'm on board. He absolutely should be in the Royals Hall of Fame, and I started beating that drum a couple of years ago. I think that may be my off-season project is to, they open it up to public voting now, and he was on the ballot this past year. He didn't win. Mike Sweeney won, but it's like a combination of like fan voting and then veteran voting and whatever. I think it's gonna be way easier to get into the Royals Hall of Fame, but the problem you're going to have with retiring number 16, right? Or 18?
16, is
crazy, but he played for the Oakland Raiders. And he played for the Oakland Raiders, and then after he left Kansas City, he played for the Chicago White Sox. And it's not that he left under bad will or anything, but I know that the Royals were just not happy that he continued to play football for the Raiders. Kansas Cityans grumbled about it at the time, and I think that is why you may never get. I think you got to get 80% or 70% or whatever. You may never get that final step of retiring the number, although, there you're talking about 30 for 30, there's a fantastic 30 for 30. I think you can get them all on Netflix now about Bo Jackson. It's a 2-hour one, and it's one of the best ones they've ever done. And the athletic feats that this man did are second to none. They're just second to none. And I'm with you, man. I think we got to get him in the Royals Hall of Fame first. He showed up at a ball game like 2 weeks ago, right? And he shows up at Kauffman Stadium and he doesn't, you know, announce himself. He doesn't go out and throw out first pitch. But the crown vision showed him in like the fourth inning, and everything on the field stopped. And the entire crowd got up and gave him a standing ovation, and they wouldn't sit down until he, you know, acknowledged the crowd. And this was like just by showing his picture on the screen.
Oh, that's fantastic.
He's still much beloved here in town, and I'm with you. I totally agree.
Well, I'm with you, mate. Well, I've got no problem campaigning, retweeting, re-whatevering anything you got as far as getting that accomplished. And for you listeners out there, you know, help us out. I don't care if it comes down to online voting, you know, just, you know, if you're an Oakland fan, we'll take your votes, you know, help him get into the Royals Hall of Fame. And maybe that'll eventually end up, now that Al Davis is gone, maybe he ends up in the Raiders Hall of Fame. But while we're on the topic of Raiders, what do you think of those incognito Raiders fans wearing 49ers jerseys during the Vikings game last night? Did you see that video, that horrific video?
I did not. I got to be honest with you, and they were talking about it on the radio this morning. I finished watching the first game, and the second I saw Chris Berman were doing the second game, I turned the damn thing off and went to bed. I know that's prime time over there, but it was 10:30 over here.
Yeah, and I mean,
I saw Berman and Dilfer were on, and I said, screw this. I went to bed because I knew it was
going to
be a dumpster fire.
No, you're right. Dilfer, like, as he was broadcasting, it sounded like he was doing an impression of a broadcaster, like someone that he liked, you know, or admired. Like, nothing felt genuine. It all just felt like, oh, this is what I probably should say right now. Like, yo, I'm excited about that big hit. It's like, are you really excited about it? Trent Dilfer playing a quarterback.
Yeah. John, there are, and you know this, you're one of them. There are so many talented people that could do a fantastic job. I mean, there's not that many Vern Lundquist or Kevin Harlan's or you know, even Joe Buck is as much maligned as he is. You know, those are hard to find. But there are people that can do it better than Chris Berman and Trent Dilfer. And for them to run those, and there's people that are on SportsCenter desks that could do a better job than those guys.
Oh, yeah, the SportsCenter.
It's an insult. It's just insulting to the viewer.
Yeah, it's SportsCenter's got a couple great. But as far as the 49ers fans go, I mean, I blame partially because they were wearing the black uniform, so they got confused and, you know, maybe thought there was a Raiders thing going on there. But I'm like, shame on you, because it's like these are the same fans. This is like Brian Stowe, the Giants fan, who, you know, got attacked and beat up and badly injured in Los Angeles, you know, four or five years ago now. Didn't die, but his life is forever changed and, you know, can't walk and things, you know, horrible incident. But, you know, the video, it's like they start beating, this guy's 66 years old, apparently, on top of it. And then, so finally some 49ers fans come over and kind of stop it, which is great. Like one guy's just like, you know, what are you doing? And then out of nowhere, some 25-year-old girl just comes up and just starts kicking the guy. And like, the dude turns around and he's just ready to punch her. But he's like, I can't hit her because it's a girl. And so he just kind of pushes her off. But, I mean, unbelievable. Yeah. I thought I saw some bad rioting after a Tigers game at the beginning of this season. But this is, like, by far the worst thing I've ever seen that's been captured. So I don't know what they got to do, more security or whatever, but I think they've got Raiders fans that are infiltrating. I mean, that's just what it seems like. So,
I mean, you and I both know the solution to it, and it's cut down on the alcohol out in the parking lots, because that's what all that stuff's fueled by, unfortunately that'll never happen. So
no,
you got to come up with some other solution.
Yeah,
but,
here's my solution.
Go to a dry parking lot or something. It'll help.
Here's my solution right now, and it's taxpayers, you can fund this. And what you do is, it's a give back program. So say you bring me, Chris, 6 empty beer bottles, cans, whatever. Per empty can, I give you in exchange a 1/2 pound of turkey, maybe pulled pork, brisket, baked beans. So as you know, you can actually exchange empty cans for food to eat to help sober you up. What do you think about that idea?
Yeah, it's a great idea. It's a fantastic idea. You can be real clever and real and figure it out. But at the same time, if somebody wants to start trouble, that's a really easy place to do it. I'm covering my first Chiefs game. I have a press pass this year, and so I'm going to go out there tonight, or Thursday night rather, and cover my first Chiefs game. And I literally haven't been to a Chiefs game in probably 15 years, simply because it's just an environment that, you know, I've got a 13-year-old kid, so I've never really been able to take him out there because the environment has gotten so bad at NFL games. And I've taken the Royals games all day long, but the environment out there, when I could just sit on my couch in my underpants and eat Cheetos, I mean, that's way better than those environments. So having not been out there for a long, long time, I'm really curious to see what that environment is and whether it's improved or gotten worse.
Well, I think as the team plays better, hopefully it'll be better. You know, and starting off 1-0, yep, and now having the Broncos, you know, that's a great way to start off undefeated. So we'll just have to see.
Big weekend here in town. We gotta get the Royals winning too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm gonna do my part. I'm gonna play Midnight Blue, Lou Gramm's song. That's the ultimate for me. That's the reverse the curse kind of, you know, breaker, the good mojo song. So I want to play that about 100 times and see if that helps. But I know the game's starting to hear it a little bit, so we'll see. But Chris, I appreciate your time again, as always. Always informative. Guys, go to pinetarpress.com. Find Chris on Twitter at TheFakeNed. Again, that Sungwoo Lee 30 for 30 is coming out on ESPN soon, so look for that, obviously, and Bo Jackson. And you know what? If Bo doesn't get into the Hall of Fame, the Royals Hall of Fame, Eric and I proposed that Bo Jackson just starts his own Hall of Fame. So, and with the first pick, Bo Jackson in his own Hall of Fame was actually the Baseball Hall of Fame. And so we're just going to do Bo Jackson's own personal Hall of Fame until he actually gets in any Hall of Fame.
I think it's a great idea. It's a fantastic idea. Let's do it.
Absolutely. Well, hey, Chris, thanks again. Thanks for your time. We'll be in touch soon. And, hey, have fun covering the Chiefs, all right? That'll be fun. I look forward to reading about that.
Thanks, man. I remain a big fan. You do a great job. And let's grab a drink next time you're here in town.
Absolutely. Should be a few weeks. I'll let you know for sure.
Staying with Bellagio.
You bet.
All right, man. Be good. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, man. You bet.
Went to Kokomo's, a great little steakhouse. The guy brings out some fresh crab legs. They just came in. I got to give them to you guys. I'm eating them. Then we go play gamble a little bit. I had a tea time early in the morning. So I said, look, I got to get going. I'm walking back to the hotel. I get three quarters of the way out of the lobby, and all of a sudden I go, oh, fuck. And I'm standing here like this. I got my butt pinched so fucking. I'm fucked. I can't move. All of a sudden, you know, felt all right. I went just like this. Water.
No way.
I had that sub. Food poisoning from the crabs. Take off my leather jacket, tied it around my waist, and I'm just standing there, and it's just running down my leg. I got jeans on, black Bucks, no socks, and I just start fucking walking. Every time I'm walking, something's coming out. It's water, straight fucking water. Then, to check how sick I was, tell you how sick I was. And then I'm standing outside, I got on my cell phone, and I call the guy. I said, Larry, you won't believe this. I'm standing outside the fucking Bellagio. I can't move. I got shit everywhere. I shit all over myself. And Larry's about a 48 waist. So he brings me over a pair of pants and some towels. And so then he comes over and he meets me where I'm standing. I tell him where I'm standing. He finds the closest bathroom. When you go up the escalator, you go into the fuck. I can't get in the elevator.
But you are not. You lose. Baseball.
Know? So he goes in. He finds the closest bathroom in the lobby of the hotel. And then I get in the escalator, and he kind of pretends like he dropped something so no one gets behind me. He tells me where it is. I go in there. He goes and gets the towel all wet for me, throws it over the fucking stall. I take off all my fucking clothes, just wipe off, leave my shoes, left my shoes, my pants, everything right there, the towels right there in the stall. And I'm walking barefoot with my shirt and his pants that are 48 waist through the lobby like this at midnight. Got up in the morning, took the most perfect double-tapered shit I've ever had in my life. True story.
All right. Thank you, Chris Kamler, pinetarpress.com at the fake Ned. You're the best. Always have a great time when you come on. Hopefully this will spark some sort of good mojo occurrence and reverse the fortunes of the Royals, which have been, I think, 2-9 over the last, 11 games. So that's not a good thing, but we'll see. we'll see. Eric, unfortunately, was not able to partake in the amazing interview, but, you know, ultimately, Eric.
All right. That was, you know what? Sometimes you need to talk Royals fan to Royals fan to get the embers sparked, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, I just want to get.
So this is going to turn it around, Sheez. I feel we need you guys in the right way going to the playoffs. Right now, you're sort of backing into them. Things aren't looking so good. But we need to, you know, we need to get you driving around listening to Midnight Blue and get this thing turned around.
It's going to be fine. I'm not worried. Not to reiterate
you're
that.
You're a little worried.
I'm not even a little worried.
You're not worried.
It's a long.
You're so worried you have to say you're not worried.
I'm just saying I am not worried because we've got plenty of games left and the team has got plenty of time to turn it around. It only takes one play.
There's not plenty of time.
And look, it's a great team. It's a lull in the season, first one of the season. So, look, I'm not worried. And what matters is the playoffs, and we've discussed it many times. We got 3 weeks until October, and I can't wait. I've been waiting 12 months, and it's the first time back-to-back playoffs in forever, Eric. I mean,
congratulations. Congratulations. Right now, I'm wearing my Pedro Martinez Red Sox T-shirt, just remembering the good old days, which were really 2 years ago. But all right.
The original good old days.
The original good old days, 2004, 2007, 2013. And, of course, I have those four Super Bowl trophies. You know, there's one thing that no one answered, the question of all the Deflategate questions, is what is the PSI of the Lombardi Trophy? We don't know what the pressure per square inch of the Lombardi football is, and we want to know. If you have an answer, please email us at sportsaholics@gmail.com. That's sportsaholics@x. If you have any questions or corrections, contact us, everybody.
And also, we will take some suggestions for Bo Jackson's Hall of Fame, which week one, we unofficially inducted the Baseball Hall of Fame into Bo Jackson's Hall of Fame. Week two, Eric.
That's right.
You're up. What do you want?
We have inducted Art Stewart of the Kansas City Royals into the Bo Jackson Hall of Fame. We have inducted Artificial Hips into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Into the Bo Jackson Hall of Fame. We have now inducted the Baseball Hall of Fame into the Bo Jackson Hall of Fame. And I'm gonna put a nomination forward, Cheese, for this episode specifically, and our guest, Tim Gaither. I'm going to say the Wrestling Hall of Fame. Maybe we should induct the Wrestling Hall of Fame. Before we do football in Canton, Ohio, which has not, you know, it's like, let's just say it, the NFL is being a little strange these days, so I'm putting them on double-secret probation, and the Canton, Ohio Football Hall of Fame is not yet inducted into the Bo Jackson Hall of Fame. They're going to have to do a little bit better. They might have to get a new commissioner before we induct them. But I'm going to put forward the Wrestling Hall of Fame.
There it is. And I think I'll go back and check, but it seems like Bo Jackson could have participated in some sort of Vince McMahon wrestling scene. I mean, that doesn't sound too far-fetched.
I don't mean the pro wrestling. I mean the actual real wrestling.
Like the Tim Gaither, Olympic wrestling, Roman wrestling.
Yeah, that whole, like, you know, that, what is it, Iowa State, or that, you know, that program that never, you know,
okay.
Fox catcher, all
See,
that kind of stuff.
I just went and did it myself. Yeah, the Olympic Wrestling Hall of Fame, got you, the real athletes. I like that. Well, we were going to start, Chris and I had talked about starting the petition or get the word out to get Bo into the Royals Hall of Fame, but I would like to see his number retired also. So I don't know if you want to do like a hashtag #retire16 or hashtag Jackson Royals Hall of Fame, HOF, you know, something like that. But there's something else I want to reach out to Cubs fans here before we end this week's episode. I think if you really want to do yourself a favor, you need to reach out to Bartman and you need him to throw out whatever first pitch there is at Wrigley Field.
That's a great one. You might need to break that curse. I see what you're saying. I think he might have to throw the first pitch to a goat.
Just have a goat standing there? Absolutely. Peg a goat. If he hit a goat, I mean, you're guaranteed to. But, I mean, if you have Bartman throw up the first pitch, I mean, I would have him do it every single game. But I think some sort of welcoming back, all is forgiven. I mean, that's just you're not going to – you're going to help so much in that sense because it's going to bring the Cubs back, and they're going to be like, you know what, we don't care. We're better than that. And I don't know if the Cubs fans are, but I'm just putting it out there, Cubs fans. Get the word out.
Great one.
Let's see if – you got a couple weeks to see if you can find Bartman and get him to throw out the first pitch. Is that too much to ask, Cubs fans? I mean, it's been 11 years now, I think, already, whatever, 11, something like that. But
you know what I think Bartman is? Florida.
I heard Florida. I know that documentary had tracked him down in Florida. If you can find him in the jungles of Florida, somebody.
And I'm just saying, Caesar started this episode calling California the Sunshine State mistakenly, and then saying he would not mention Florida again willingly, and here he is again, people, with his own idea about relieving Bartman, and what did he have to say? Florida.
Yeah, but I called it the jungles of Florida. It was, again, I said I would, you know.
I like the jungles of Florida. By the way, I think that's a great movie title. We might need to write the first Sportsaholics movie, Sportsaholics Kid, The Jungles of Florida.
Yep.
Caesar Marino R. in the jungles of Florida.
Featuring Bartman. I like if we track him down. That's the whole, you know. But, so Cubs fans, do your whatever hashtag, Bartman first pitch, whatever you need to do online.
Free Bartman. Free Bartman. We have freed Brady. Now we will free Bartman. Free Bartman for the Cubs.
I mean, can you imagine? Have him throw out the first pitch at every game. I don't care. I mean, forget Ernie Banks' wife. Just bring in Bartman. And have Moises Alou catch the pitch. That would be great.
It would be great if they just suddenly, if Bartman just appeared in the ivy on Wrigley Field like he was appearing in the corn from Field of Dreams, like Joe Jackson. Joe Jackson.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the singer Joe Jackson from the 80s. Sue stepping out.
All right. Well, Eric, anything
else, Keith?
Nope, I was just saying, anything else from you?
Well, I'd like to plug some things. Hey, guys, you can also listen to me sometimes on the Ed and Clee podcast, which also started right there in the show up, go up. A variety show at the World Famous Comedy Store. If you're in Los Angeles on a Sunday night from 11 to 1, please stop by. I host Kenny Lyons, is my idiot sidekick, sound guy, and we'd love to have you. So that's the show of Go Up, which gives us the Ed and Clee podcast. And then, of course, there's the Roast Battle podcast, which is called Verbal Violence. It's a great show. That's every Tuesday night at the World Famous Comedy Store, and celebrities extraordinaire show up all the time. And you can follow me at OThatMarino on the Twitter.
That is right. And follow Sportsaholics at Sportsaholics. Let's see. What else? Follow. Go to johnishere.com. Kansas City, in and around Gardner, like I said. Tim and I will be doing a show there here in a couple weeks on the Saturday the 26th. So you can go to Sportsaholics. I'll post the date on our website, Twitter, whatever, too. But please, if you can, come out to that. It should be a great time. We'll be taping. It'll be a lot of fun, but Eric, it's a good week. Good.
Sportsaholics 85.
That's right.
Aaron Davis episode. There you go, Chief.
In the bag, guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word. Thanks for listening all over the world. And go to onelovely.com, our sponsor, official. Buy yourself a T-shirt. They got a bunch of great designs, one-offs.
Wait, what's the name of that? What's our official sponsor's name? Plug it again. I did a training with Wolverine.
That's onelovely. onelovely.com. Go check them out, guys.
Hey, stay upset.
Now the umpires are going to walk away and talk about this and go over the rules and examine the bat. See where the fine part's in the label, the trademark is.
Yep.
See the brown substance there?
It does look like it.
That's fine tart.
It looks like it is.
Now you are not allowed to have that pine tar up that far on the bat.
Billy Martin walking around waiting for the, I don't know what they're measuring.
They might be going to call George Brett out.
Well, he is. He's out.
Yes, sir.
Brett is out. Look at this. Brett is out. And a demon match. He is out. And having to be forcibly restrained from hitting plate umpire Tim McClellan. And the Yankees are in the ball game 4-3. Brett is called out for using an illegal bat. or with the illegal substance.
Right in the pouring rain, I won't say when, don't know when, but soon there's gonna come a day, baby, I'll be back again.